That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And Wrangler Paul, good morning, sir. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you. It is the 24th, I do believe, isn't it? Yeah, Saturday, September 24th, 2022. I'm still getting some coffee down and waking up this morning, but we thank you for joining us, Remnant, and we'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, and be glad to take your call. And plenty to talk about, but we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Let's do that first. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day, this fall day, crisp and cool outside, and looks like a beautiful day coming, Lord. And we just, I thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to have fellowship with you and with your people. And Lord, what a blessing that is. Lord, even if it is over the phone, maybe not sitting around a campfire, sharing stories, but Lord, it's a Radio Ranch microphone campfire, and so we thank you for that, and thank you for being here as well. Pull up a chair and join us and guide and direct us. Lord, we pray for this land, for the people in your land. Lord, we know that the birth pangs, Father, are rolling, the earthquakes and the storms, and Father, we see them for what they are. But we thank you for these things that happen, that, Lord, we know they are from a loving and patient and compassionate God that desires his people to return to him. And so, Lord, we pray that they would that would come about. Father, if you can use us, if we can be used to help open your people's eyes, to share your truths with them, then, Lord, here we are. Use us. Guide and direct this broadcast this morning, and I pray that it is a blessing to your people, In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Paul, we were talking just before. I'd like you to bring it up again about the Queen's funeral. I didn't get to watch it, but you had a couple interesting points on it, if you want to share it.
Well, I got a book in my hand, The Symbols of Our Celto-Saxon Heritage, and I was watching that thing, and the symbols of Judah were all over that thing, the blanket that was over her casket and the preacher, they had that on it, and all them symbols, as lion is that, and they had the three lions and stuff like that, and I got that sitting here, too, in my hand, the orb that was a, I don't know, round thing with a little cross on it that was on her casket, and the crown of St. Edward was there. I mean, this is handed down. But I think somewhere in the Bible it says that there would be a king on the throne of God forever. The throne of David, let's see. I'm reading here. But anyway, that Judah is England. British means come with its sons. And the British Isles, which is Britain, or London, yeah, England, Scotland and Ireland, that's the British Isles, but that, and there's plenty of reading where all of the, after the crucifixion of Christ, those people went up into England, that Joseph of Arimathea had large land holdings up there. But what this is to identify who the players are, and it was all there in that funeral, you know. You know, we don't understand everything. You know, I told somebody, oh, Jesus Christ is our eternal, you know, like stuff like that. But I don't know. It just kind of, I don't watch TV, but my daughter was here and I happened to look at the funeral and I started looking at it and it's all there. How the hand of God has come from David down to here, well, all the way from the beginning down to here. And that's who we are. See, and then Judah, because of its religion, lost the sovereignty because they had a kingdom that the sun never set on. But that was taken away from them, and it was moved to the United States, the New Jerusalem. So, but it's just, it was just was appalling to me, all the stuff that was there, the symbolism and stuff like that. It just kind of, you know, struck me. I, you know, I usually don't kind of watch that, any of that stuff, but I happened to look at that, and it was all there, you know. And I seen a documentary on Prince Charles a year or two ago and all the good stuff they do in farming and teaching kids how to take care of themselves and stuff like that. You know, we don't always know from the news media what's really going on and what's going, you know. But the sovereignty of God's hand and this, you know, it's delivering this whole thing that we're talking about right now that we're going through. You know, George Washington said the three troubled times of America, and I think this is the third one. And we're reaping. Our nation has shunned God, is what it has. It's, you know, you can't find a person on the street that knows what sin is.
No.
It just, they have no idea. I mean, they're just a remnant that does, and it's waking up. You know, there's one verse in the Bible, I don't understand, all Israel will be saved, and I don't really understand what that means. But I don't really know what that means. I never did. Peter didn't know, and I didn't know. So, but in Ezekiel 38 and 39, when Gog and Magog attacked us, and then God says, Israel will know who I am once and for all, I'm looking forward to that day.
Amen.
Yeah. You see people that live and don't have a clue what's going on. So they will before it's over.
Yes. And that, you know, that, again, that is another another point of why the Anglo-Israel message is so important. Why it is rejected by, you know, it's rejected by every mainstream religious leader and church in this land. Is the media and everything. Just like Christ was rejected when he walked this earth by all the mainstream religious leaders and Romans and all in the land. Let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hey, good morning,
hey, brothers.
There. Oh, good morning, Patrick. You got to stop jogging this morning, and
yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah. Well, you know, these so-called smartphones, you know.
Yeah.
I was just kind of listening in today, and listened to last week's. I can't believe it's been a whole Saturday or a whole week already. We were camping last week, and we were listening to Coffee with the Wranglers, and you know. It's just, I'm sure I'm not the only one that has noticed that, you know, the days of the time has been shortened or sped up, and things are really, really moving in the world. And that, you know, if you're not prepared or prepared by now, you better get there because, you know, things are moving fast, and you had mentioned something about the radio program was from last week. You know, it seemed like the same events that happened last week happened this week. You know, the stock market crashed. Took a pretty big dive. You can really see how. You know, their system, their Babylonian system is falling. And, I talk with people, they're upset. This and that is going on in the world. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy. And, you know, and it's easy to get caught up in that and see what's going on and get down and depressed. But, you know, really, you know, we've been told about this, and this was going to happen in the end times, and that we should rejoice, and so that's what we've been doing here, is just rejoicing and waiting, and we can see the see what's happening, and you know, back in the original testament the New Testament. You know, they asked Jesus, well, give us a sign, you know, because they wanted a sign. Well, you know, if you can't see what's going on, I don't know. You know, it's better, you know, the ark, the door of the ark is closing, so.
Oh, it is. It is, and we are seeing these, you know, that's why they're called birth pangs, because they just keep coming, and you know, if we remember what it's like when our wives have had children and had those birth pangs, you know, usually it's not just pretty immediate and then it's over with. They last a while. And the Word tells us that, you know, when you see wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes, two earthquakes in Mexico this week that were rattling some state parks across the United States, and not just little 3.0 earthquakes, some 7 point something, 6.8, I think, a couple of them this past week. And so we're seeing these things. We're seeing the lawlessness in the street, the acceptance, certainly the times where good is called evil and evil is called good. And it's just accepted. It's just the way it is. Whether it's, I thought about you, Patrick. I saw this 47 people in Minnesota charged with stealing $250 million in COVID-19 relief funds that was meant for children. Okay, they're in Minnesota. And you think, oh my gosh. And so I saw one news report on it, and it showed this big old fat white guy. You know, and you think, oh man, here are these, you know, here are our people stealing money again. There were 47, one big fat white guy, and 46 Somalis. That was how I saw it.
Yep.
But they report, they show you, you know, $250 million meant for children. I even heard this on National Public Radio. And, you know, when they're saying, oh yeah, it's, you know, they stole this money that was meant for these children, and they say the one white guy's name. And there were 46 black Somalis that were, how do you say it, just as guilty, that were charged as well. And so 47 are charged, one white guy, 46 Somalis, and the white guy makes the news. And and so we see that it's that the perception that's put out, that becomes the reality for so many people that aren't in the know. And anyway, it's just one more. It's one more attack on who the Anglo-Israel people are. It's one more attack on Judah and Israel, the true Judah and Israel. That, as Paul mentioned, where's that? The beginning, is it Jeremiah or Isaiah, Paul? I think it's Jeremiah, isn't it? I'm almost there. Heck, I don't know him as much, but nope, Jeremiah is where God says, I formed you in the womb. But in Isaiah, an ox knows its owner and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. His people are stupider. We, because we've all been there, are stupider than an ox, stupider than a donkey. That's what he calls us. Now, he still loves us, but he says, my people do not understand. I had my Bible open to Jeremiah 50 today, this morning, and it comes up in verse 7 says, verse 6, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They have gone along from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. All who came upon them have devoured them. And their adversaries have said, we are not guilty, inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. And when you read that, it's those people that come against us, those people that come like the locust of Joel, the millions, almost 2 million they estimate that have come across the borders this year. Just this year, those people aren't sinning. They're not sinning. They're not guilty. Put it that way, because see, God hasn't put the law on them. But it's we who are guilty. And when we and this invasion that comes upon us, this loss of when the Babylon stock market goes down, and it's going down. But there's so many that will lose all they have, money and everything in it, because we're guilty, because God is causing that to happen, and we've once again turned to Egypt, turned to Babylon for salvation, for saving, for our health, safety, and welfare, and God's not going to have it. He's just not. You read the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy 32, and he says he sets the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. That's the bounds of the nations, okay? The boundary. And our nation is changing. Why? Well, his people would rather not have children. And when you don't have children, guess what? You don't need all this land. And he'll give it to those that are having children, to the foreigner, to wipe us off of it. And that's what we see happening. It comes against the white man like it never has before. Paul, you mentioned that that English, the sun never set on the English Empire, and of course that's Judah, and it was that way at one time, but then when you get a little proud and haughty, and God won't have it. And it sure ain't that way today. And it's not that it just changed and everything is fine, but it just continues to be attacked and be ridiculed. And there is no other explanation for it. And that's the good thing. That's the good thing, though, is because it does help open people's eyes. It does. It's as simple as that.
And something along that lines, what you just said about America, we're not having children, and so God will give the land away. I had heard it a couple times since the Queen of England died that all these English colonies will possibly break away from England, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. It's kind of interesting now that you brought that up, that a lot of these countries want to become their own republics and separate from England.
Yeah, it's a time of change, that's for sure. Well, guys, let's try this other phone line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Would that be me?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, this is Tom up in Washington.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, I remember Pastor Peters and some other people talking about actually the U.K. represented Ephraim. The U.S. represented Manasseh. And like you said, the sun never set on England, because that was, Ephraim got the greater blessing. So they were tied up with Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and that Judah represented Germany. Now, the royals, they were all tied together, as I recall, centuries ago with, Germany, the Dutch, or the Russians. All the royals were related. So,
yes.
That's what I remember from way back.
Yeah. I think depending on how detailed people want to get, as far as, who is what. And, Tom, I get calls here and that, with people that say, yeah, I can trace my lineage right back to Judah, right back to Father Abraham and this and that. It can be taken to extreme. But at the very least, the dispersion was definitely the European nations. That is where the dispersion was. And then it certainly traveled, intermixed, intermingled, both among the tribes that had forgotten who they were, as well as intermixed and intermingled with so many of the native peoples that were there, the barbarians that were across
they
Europe.
Got in trouble for that when they were making their trips around the hills and the wilderness too.
That's so. Right. That's right. And
okay.
Reached out.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
God bless.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
And Paul, you mentioned that book, Symbols of Our Celto-Saxon Inheritance, I think is what it is. And I've got those books on order. We usually carry them. And they've been so popular. I've got another case coming in. And it's available there at the website if that's something that interests you. Ray Kapp has a great book, The Abrahamic Covenant, that talks about that as well. It's not like Judeo-Christianity puts forth that all those people are gone and whoever's the only ones left are the few little Jews over there in the sandbox of Israel that we must bless, that are just apart from God for a season until the time of the Gentiles come in, and then they will praise Jesus and understand he is the Messiah, and on and on and on. And if that's what you want to believe, just, talk about it at rapture practice on Tuesday night when you go to church, and let that be that. The fact of the matter is that is just not, it's just not so. It's not. And it causes you to throw half the Bible away. I've said it before, but it has to hit home sometime. How Brother Zach reminds us and how points us back to the Word. And the Word of John, in the beginning, was the Word. So picture that Word, all caps. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The only Word, written Word, that they had was the Old Testament. And so, you know, I've got one page folded in half in my Bible that I could take out. And it's the page between the end of Malachi and the beginning of Matthew. And because it is one book. It is one book. And it is about one people. It just is. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, it's got an interesting conversation this morning. You know, with the tradition of ancestry and stuff back to Abraham. You really don't have to trace it. I found out, you know, through Shelton Emery, that I was an Israelite, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So that you know, there's no tracing to be done. You know, we're Abraham's seed. We know the Israelites were here before Columbus was. I think E. Ray Camp is the one that mentioned the Ten Commandments down in New Mexico that have written in Greek or Hebrew.
Yes.
And just this week they found the canoe up here in Winona Lake. They believe it's about 3,000 years old, so that's possibly, you know, an Israelite. You know, and when the Lord scattered the people, when he destroyed the Tower of Babel, he put them in all four corners of the earth, and that's even before Abraham. And then the Bible talks about, the branch over the wall. That is the United States of America, I believe. You know, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim was the younger one, if I remember right, that was blessed. And we're the youngest nation in the world, really. And like you said, look what's happening to our nation because of our people. So I want to pray about that. But I got a praise report, too. Kevin Reed has taken over the ministry with Pastor Barley. He's on some, but he's a great shepherd. So I want to pray for him and thank the Lord that we do have another shepherd out there with America's Promised Ministry. Well, God bless you.
All right, Warren. Thank you, brother. God bless. Yeah, I forget where it is, but, you know, God says, my people and their children are for signs and wonders to the peoples of the world. And it is that remnant that understands. It's that remnant that that has the explanation that you know, like the prophets of old are called to be the watchmen on the wall, that are called to warn the people, to tell the people, and it's happened before. I desire it to happen again, like you had said, Paul, for when the day comes that God's people will know him once again. And we do our best to keep plugging away at that.
That guy that called in earlier said that Judah was Germany. I thought that for years until recently. It's not. You know, Colonel Moore said it's the tribe of Gad was Germany. And the more I thought about it, and I started seeing, you know, this king. Let me read this little thing right here. It's in this book. As such a symbol, that's talking about the crown of St. Edward, as such a symbol could have no meaning to any but the Israel people. It follows that our use of it for the coronation of... Hold on a second. The coronation of our sovereigns is symbol proof of the Israelitish identity of the Celto-Saxon people, and that our throne is a continuation of the throne of David, and that was promised by God way back in the original testament, as I call it, and this is going on to this day, and it's kind of in, you know, my daughter had seen that stone that Jacob laid his head on. She was in Ireland or something like that, and when they the queen was coronated, I think in 53, she sat on that, and they have no most people don't know what it is. But this is pretty exciting to see what God is doing in my eyes. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
You know, you see that queen and king. I mean, that's just continuation of the throne of David. Now, you know, the great fall away, whatever's going on, I don't totally understand it, but it is pretty exciting. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're being run over by the stranger. That's God keeping his word. But this is what he has to do to get us to turn back to him. So I don't think he's done giving us a rough time, because we deserve it.
I think it's just beginning. And like you mentioned, Patrick, about, you know, they asked for signs. They had seen Jesus heal. They had seen him heal on the Sabbath, the man with the withered hand. They had seen him heal the blind, cause the lame to walk, and they didn't believe because they weren't of God. And that is where we are today. They would rather believe the lie. And again, that's where so many are today. They would rather believe the lie than search for the truth, just as they were then. They had signs. They told you, oh, give us a sign. They had signs already that they didn't believe. They purported to know the Old Testament, and Christ is all through there, whether it's in Genesis or Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of it. And they could not see it. They couldn't see the signs that were around them. You know, it'd be like if... you know, there's a hurricane, Ian. It's a big tropical storm. It's just forming up good down in the Caribbean, and the track looks like it's just going to cover Florida here this next week. And, you know, we have signs that show that that's what looks like it's coming. And the people either will get ready or they won't get ready. And, you know, they can either ignore the signs around them and just whatever happens to them happens. Or they can recognize the signs and prepare. You know, Jesus even said, when you see the buds on the fig tree, you see them out, you know summer's coming. But you ignore it. You don't see the signs of the times. You know, we look around and we see that it's fall. You know, the grass is starting to turn a little yellow. The leaves are starting to change. It's cooler. We can see the physical signs that God brings about in his creation. We need to be able to see, and some of the remnant do, the spiritual signs of what's going on.
Yeah, you know, that's just like, you know, Acts 2:38, you know, be baptized. You know, I know Christians that you mentioned to them, you know, you need to be baptized. Well, or you ask, well, you've been baptized? Yeah. Well, when I was a baby, and I said, well, you know, the Bible doesn't mention anything about infantile baptism. You know, it was they were adults. You know, at the least the age of 20, you need to be baptized. And I had been marking in my Bible. I wanted to write down how many times the New Testament mentions baptism or has at the very least a reference to it. And it's there, and you know they sure know how to quote John 3:16, but when it comes to baptism, they just they don't see it. I mean, it's there. It's there. You got to look if you are, a serious study of the Bible, you should be able to see that. And it's like, well, you know, if Jesus got baptized, you know, as an adult, you know, why, you know, you should be baptized also if you really want to be an imitator of Christ, as Paul said. You know, if we're going to imitate Christ, we should also be baptized. But they kind of get put on the back burner, and they just don't see it. And I see it on social media. You know, just believe and be saved. Well, you know, the Bible also says, you know, our baptism now saves us. You know, but they fail to see that. So,
That's how it is. They want their sound bites, their little sound bites, so that they can have that little 30-second sound bite and then spend the rest of the 23 hours and 59 and a half minutes doing whatever the hell they want to do. And that's really where it's at. And that in itself is a mark of Israel. That in itself, that there's shows who the stiff-necked, obstinate, hard-headed people are. They're the same people that turned a 3-week camping trip with God into a 40-year, wilderness trek. Same people. Give us a guy. We don't know where this guy Moses went. We don't even know what he's leading us out here. Give us something we can worship, you know, and been turning away ever since. But that remnant, narrow is the gate and few that find it that lead to life. It's just that's how it is. And it's unfortunate, as long as it's day, that's what we do. And that's our call, Christians. Good that you've been saved. Good that you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. It's great that you've been baptized. That's your duty. That's your duty. Now what? Now what? You know, do you just curl up on your couch? Hey, I'm saved. I'm good. Just, let it happen. No, we are to certainly love God and love our neighbor as ourself. That bastard Governor Newsom, how dare he put that up on a billboard? He is calling on God to strike him down. He put up, Governor Newsom put these billboards out in California. Women, you want to have an abortion? Come to California. We'll give it to you because, as Jesus said, we love our neighbor. And that's what he's putting up on billboards. And, there's many people that mock God, but that's pretty blatant. That's pretty open. And it like Mr. T used to say, pity the fool, right? Pity the fool.
Yep.
Because Newsom, you're being foolish. You're being foolish, buddy. You are treading on thin ice, and you need to repent. You need to repent. And there's probably many pastors across the land in these progressive churches, in these Unitarians and these others that have their queer pastors and their homosexuals and their and all that stuff that that mock God as well. And the same thing goes out to them. We read it in Corinthians Thursday night. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Liars and mockers and effeminate and homosexuals and murderers don't make it into the kingdom. They don't. It's as simple as that. And whatever your understanding of the kingdom is, heaven or bliss, Valhalla, there's a bunch of different, people think different things of it. But the word is clear. And you know, those that practice lawlessness, in the words of Jesus Christ, have nothing to do with him. And if you think that law's been done away with, you just go with that and hold on to it, and we'll see on the day of judgment. And it won't be good. It won't be good.
Newsom's beyond foolish. He's militant. You know, foolish is you're dumb and don't know no better, but he's militant. He's aggressively attacking God, and he wants to stick as many with him as he can.
That's right. Well, when you have Kamala Harris, her last little speech, word spaghetti, whatever, word salad, was talking about these predatory. Now, what do you think when you think about predatory? Right? Predatory, there, you know, that's coming after you. That's a lion coming after you, right? Predatory, or a tiger, or even a shark in the ocean, right? Predatory, coming after you, trying to kill you, trying to get you. She uses that term to describe pregnancy centers that help women continue with their pregnancy and have children, maybe from an unplanned pregnancy. And that's her terminology, are these predatory pregnancy centers. Oh, that are mean and evil. We live, folks, in the time that good is called evil and evil is called good. And thankfully, because so many people have been blind to that, it's things like this that are making them known to those that have been blind before it before. Blind to it before. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching a show. Well, somebody's got a program out, and they had they showed where talking about this abortion stuff, and there's some, I don't know, some black female rapper that made some video, and she's singing about going to the abortion clinic, and she's got murder on her mind. And in the video, there's some, they blocked it out, but you know, there's this naked black woman twerking on top of a car or something like that. And I'm like, you would have never thought, even 5 years ago, that would never, they would have never made anything like that. They would have never filmed or broadcasted anything like that. And it's just disgusting, you know, that, you know, and what the so-called black leadership, the black, you know, the influencers, or however you want to say it, you know, what they're doing to people in their own community. You know, they're just driving them to hell. But I heard a lot of talk. I think it's Larry Elder. You know, he was a black Republican that ran against Gavin Newsom in the recall election out there. I guess he's got a couple movies out called Uncle Tom. Now he's got Uncle Tom 2, and I heard him interviewed on the radio the other day, and they were talking about blacks in the 1920s and 30s and the prosperity that they had, and you know, virtually every home had two parents, and how well they were doing, and then all of a sudden here comes the Civil Rights Act, and all that stuff all just had gone away.
That's right. The Civil Rights Act of 1965 destroyed the black community. It destroyed them. It took the black father out of the home. And it was just practice for us. It was just practice, you know, because they've done it with the white people as well.
Yeah.
They haven't so much succeeded exactly with the Hispanic families or the Asian families. You see a contrast there. Right or wrong, but you do. But you're absolutely right, Patrick. That Civil Rights Act, people talk about, oh, they praise that, and Martin Luther King and Jr. and all this. But the Civil Rights Act of 1965 destroyed the black community. I remember, and I was born in 1965, but I remember having my elders tell me growing up that very thing, how, you know, the blacks used to, they had there in Winter Haven, Florida, they had Florence Villa. That was the black community. And it wasn't that they'd get lynched if they came out of it, or that you'd get mugged if you went through it. Not at all. But it was black doctors, black lawyers, black black businesses, black car dealerships, and they owned their business. And like you said, the black father was in the home, and that's been destroyed. And when you trace it back, you see that it started in 1965 with a pass. You know, it's just like, you know, the government comes out with a war on drugs. What do you end up with? More drugs. The government comes out with a war on poverty. What do you have? More poverty. Civil Rights Act, what happened? Destroyed the black community. The signs are there, just like the signs we've been talking about, but they're ignored. They're ignored. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Patrick.
Oh, no. That's, you know, it. What was it? What year did they kick God out of public school? 1963, I believe. And, you know, there was a David Barton's got that book, America the Prayer, Not the Prey.
Yes.
You know, it shows all those statistics, what happened after American society, you know, well... You know, it was the acts of an unrighteous justice system, but the American society, you know, were there protests? Did anybody protest that? Where were the churches in that? From my understanding, it was the Catholic Church was a big supporter of kicking God out of the school, because they were going to, they knew some parents weren't going to allow that, and so they sent their children to parochial school. So the, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, profited financially from that. So, you know, they're not going to go down and protest the ungodly judicial.
That's right.
Ruling.
It just moved out of one jurisdiction to another, and neither one were godly. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Yes, I thought of giving some endpoint when you mentioned how people have been led to believe that it might be God's will to have an abortion in the way I kind of interpreted it, you know? And this is Floyd in South Dakota again here.
Yeah.
It's part of how we've had generation after generation given subliminal lies a little bit at a time. If they told a whole bunch at once, we would have put up our guard, and that would have been our great-great-great-granddaddy. But they lied to us a little bit at a time, and the biggest lie that has made it all work out is the false prophets of Baal, leading us to believe that these things are okay.
Yeah, they have perverted the word of God. They have turned it around. Good is evil. Evil is good.
And what does the word tell us? To listen to God, he that hath an ear, let him hear the voice of God. But you got to take time to stop making brick without straw, which is basically building up your careers on all the off time you got and not spending any time with God and family. You're making brick without straw to make your career build. Okay? This is how I've interpreted it, and I believe I'm right. And so we're still making brick without straw, just like they did before Moses brought them across the Jordan.
Yeah.
And through that, we don't have time to read our Bible, and that's why we're suckers to believe that we're not in sin to commit abortion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is, you know. Horace Greeley said you cannot enslave physically or mentally a Bible-reading people. And that's, you know, certainly by the grace of God, but that's what the remnant are. They read this word. They dwell upon this word, which is Christ. It's not just it's not just in word, but in deed. And that's where it is. Well, Floyd, thank you for the call, brother. We're about out of time.
Yeah.
You have a great weekend. And Patrick, thank you, brother. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the input. And you stay safe out there in Somaliland, okay?
Yeah, I'll try.
Yeah, how's your garden ending up? We still got a minute or so. How'd your garden end up this year?
Well, it's pretty good. I got I'm being overrun by tomatoes.
Nice.
Sharing with the neighbors quite a bit. I planted a fall garden, so I got a little hoop house. I don't have the cover on it yet, so my goal is I want to see how long I can go in the year. Into the winter with a few vegetables, you know, peas and radishes and whatnot. So
sure,
I'm going to give that a try. So
well, good.
But I'm abundantly blessed with my little garden that I got out here this year.
Awesome, that's good to hear. That is. Well, Patrick, God bless. Thanks for joining us. You have a great weekend, sir.
You too. God bless.
All right.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Good to hear that about the gardens. I've got two varieties of garlic, and I'm going to put garlic in. They say you have to plant garlic in the fall, let it overwinter, and then come spring it'll start popping up. So I did. I'm gonna try that. We'll see.
You're good. We're never done learning. You know, the other day I was talking to a guy, he knows the Bible really well, and he goes to a steeple house, to, you know, telling the Jews they're God's chosen people, and I said, well, who's Israel? And he understood it was Jacob. Well, I said, well, Jacob had 12 sons, and you expect me to believe that just Judah is the only one that's going to be saved? He said, let's talk about cover crops. I mean, I had him in the corner where he couldn't turn because he's in the cover crops big time. But that, instantly, he said, let's talk about cover crops because he couldn't defend it.
Right.
You know, but it said Israel had 12 sons. It ain't just Judah.
Right.
So,
well, you know, Paul, there's a seed planted. Right. That's a great example because that is exactly what we are to be doing. That is a seed planted. What about the other sons? What about the other sons? Asking questions. Man, I wish I had that wisdom. I wish I could come up with that stuff. But the best I can do is hang out with you, Paul, and hopefully learn from that.
I never did it before. That was the first time, and I thought it worked really good. So.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Man, that is. You know, plant those seeds. You know, I remember back, we've been part of this ministry for 31 years. And I can remember back my father-in-law and my wife's brothers that were part of the ministry asking us questions. What about this? What about that? You know, they didn't cram anything down our throat. What about this? What about that? And those seeds planted finally started taking root. And it was finally, you know, my wife and I both saying, well, what if this is, you know, what if it really is like that? What if? And it was, let's read this Bible and find out. And we did. And guess what? Huh. It is that way. Israel is who the Bible says. And there is Judah. And there are those 12 sons. And that does make sense that they are the dispersion. He's not going to go to the dispersion, is he? Not to those tribes scattered abroad. It did make sense. It does. If you look, if you seek, you will find. And sometimes, you know, all you can do is, hey, let's talk about cover crops. And that's understandable. But the seed's planted. The seed is planted. And that's good. That's good. Well, guys, Paul, we're out of time. Thank you so much, sir, for taking your Saturday morning here with us. And
yep. You're welcome.
And Remnant, we ask you to join us at church tomorrow. We've got some guest flying that have flown out from New York that are visiting, been on the ministry as long as I've been out here, as long as I can remember, and they've flown out to visit the church. We're having a fellowship dinner after church tomorrow. I'm bringing a message, a live message. I tell you, I got a title for it. Just do it. Just do it. Nike might be getting on to me, right, about infringement. We'll see. It got nothing to do with those shoes, though. But join us, 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern for to get started. And that'll be 7:30 on the West Coast. And then, of course, we'll have a timeless pulpit truth from Pastor. And I'm privileged to bring a live message tomorrow, and still working on that. And, of course, we'll have communion. And so we invite you to join us. We hope that you will. And we'll see you there. That's at scripturesforamerica.org, right? Scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream, and it'll be almost like you're sitting there in church with us. Hopefully we'll see you then. God bless.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side.